Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. Last week, I had Jackie the Joke Man Martling with us for almost a full hour of the show, and he was terrific. A great interview. We learned so much about his early career, his days with Howard Stern. He was laugh-out-loud funny, and Jackie gave us so much stuff. There's more. So sit back and relax the rest of the hour. Enjoy my conversation with Jackie the Joke Man Martling.
But you're out doing a gig, and let's say, I don't know, let's say you're down in Philadelphia or whatever, and you're trying to make extra money, and you realize, my God, I got to be on the air at 6 o'clock in the morning. Just for your body, it's got to rip you apart.
I can't believe you said Philadelphia. I'll tell you a story. You know, people say, how can you guys be funny at 6 o'clock in the morning? Well, you walk in, and you sit there, and you start drinking coffee, and we just boom, 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 and it's amazing. But then I drive home to Long Island and crash from the coffee, you know, I'm ready to bite the car door off, you know. But I, in when we got much more famous, I would go to Las Vegas or Chicago and headline in the theater and make big money and fly there and do the one show, and they get treated like a king. And it really was incredible, and you miss that. But as we were getting very famous way back, I could do a show on a Wednesday or Thursday and sell it out. Mm. And these clubs are usually dark. So it was great. The owner had no problem giving me the
door.
Oh,
they love you.
Okay.
Sure.
And they make a fortune on a night when they usually
we
wouldn't
did.
Make any money.
Yeah.
So I would work a Wednesday or Thursday. So I worked a Thursday in Philadelphia. And this just stays in my mind because it was such a definitive answer to what you're saying. And it's so absurd. Because I would... Every show, I would drive to the show. I had my tape recorder, the microphones, all my bags of stuff. So I show up at the Funny Bone. I get done with the Stern Show, drive to Philadelphia to South Street, go in, put in my bags, set up my tape recorder, hang the microphones, quick sound check, go and try and sleep a little bit at the hotel, come back, do the show. When the show's over, sell all my stuff, take down the mics, everything, pack up my car, and of course I got to go get drunk with the help. And so I'm recording, and I knew it was in a spectacular recording, and this night actually wound up being my first CD, or a good bulk of my first CD. Went out and got loaded and went back to the hotel. And this is true. It's 3:30, and I called to the desk, and I said, could I have a wake-up call for 3:45? And the girl says, what are you talking about? I said, listen, I'm a performer, and I got to be sitting in my seat at 6 o'clock in New York City. And I know if I get up and bolt out of here at 3:45, I can get there. And it's 3:30.
It's a five-minute phone call to set up.
Right, and I'm not going to sit here. I'm
now.
Not going to sit here and watch the clock. I don't know if I explained it to her this much, but I did explain it to myself that I couldn't sit there for 15 minutes. She says, "All right." So I, bing, and, you know, and then I woke up and I was out of there and drove in
you're
and
flying
I was,
up the turnpike.
And what a life!
And sat there and I, you know, and like many nights, we got done with the show. Oh, great show, great show! And I'd look at the stack of notes I wrote for Howard and I'd be like, "How'd they get there?" You know, I had no idea what had happened. You know, I'd still be loaded.
Wow.
You know, but it was great.
It's the lifestyle that you can only take so long. I mean, seriously.
15 years.
Oh, my God.
People used to say to me, yeah, I know what you're talking about, man. I get up at 5:30.
No,
5:30!
If you get up at quarter after four every day, you would kill to sleep till 5.
Right.
That's like sleeping all day.
And you have to be on. I mean, on meaning 6 o'clock, boom, you're doing comedy on a national show. You're not sitting there, you know, trying to hide from the boss for the first
hour
of the show.
The pressure was all on Howard. There's no pressure on me. I just had to sit there and wait till I thought of something.
Yeah.
So that kind of – but it was just me and, you know, so many people I knew have businesses and employees and tractors and you know, taxes and blah, 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 blah. And I walked in and I had a Sharpie. That was my – that was my workplace.
That's
a Sharpie. That was my tool, and that was it. So, you know, people, they still think I was crazy for leaving, but at some point, my life.
Yeah.
Quality of life.
I
right?
want to live some life, you know, and I don't live the world's best life, but it ain't bad, you know.
Yeah.
I remember when you first left, and people were like, oh, is Jackie doing okay? You were on some show, and this just came into my head, and this is how my head works. I think it was Mike and Juliet on Channel 5 in New York or something, and I think it was Juliet Huddy that says to you, Jackie, are you doing okay? And you looked at her, and you said, I'm down to my last $5,000. It's like, what do you think you're going to say? You know, you had a career. That show, yes, that show helped you. It didn't define you.
Well, it kind of... It does to people.
To a certain extent, but still, yeah. Look, I mean, it's a long time now.
It's amazing how immediate it is. So many people, it's so current because they play so many reruns.
Yeah.
Constant. Now, the people tell me that they're editing them and changing them and taking things out because I guess Howard's doing this whole thing where he's in love with cats and him and his wife are in love with cats. And they tortured me for 2 years about my cat that got killed. You know, that was the funniest thing in the world, how he explains that to her. But, it's amazing how much they hold on to it. You know, I still get texts or tweets, you know, you idiot, you should have signed your contract. I'm like, that was 16
let it
years
go.
Ago.
Just let it go already.
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, that's amazing.
I'll tell you, some things are so heartening.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't got 100 of these. Maybe I've gotten 5 texts or emails like this. But if you're in the radio business, yeah. You know how they always tell you if you get a complaint that represents 5,000 people or if they like something that represents. So because not many people will take the trouble to let you know. And this guy wrote me and said, I have to tell you this. I started listening to the Stern Show in 2007. I'm from Seattle and I instantly love the show. I really love the show. And now you're my favorite person on the show. He said, after I started listening to the show, I started hearing a real lot of the reruns. And he said, it's like having a new favorite band and then finding out they have old albums that are better than the new albums. I'm like,
That's a great way to do that.
I wrote back and said, what's your address, dude? I'm going to send you all the stuff I got. That's the nicest compliment.
Yeah.
If I had to sit down and write myself a compliment, I could.
That's what you do.
That was pretty nice, right?
That's really nice. I mean, that's quite a testament to what that show was and what you were on it.
But, you know, whenever I complain about Howard or anything, he is what he is. And if he wasn't what he is, he wouldn't be who he is.
Exactly.
You know, you can't have it both ways.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's the character he is because he's the character. You know, he's 6'6" since he was in second grade.
Yeah.
And that's not easy to deal with. I'm 68. I can run around in between people's legs and fart. And I'm a character. If you're 6'6", you have to be a grown-up. Now, we had a band with a 6'6" drummer. You know, and he was a kid. But he had to act like a grown-up because he was an adult.
Yeah.
I still don't like that word.
And you know, you look great. I mean, you don't change. Seriously.
That's a very nice thing to say.
Oh, my God. Seriously.
That's a nice thing to
say. I mean, we've never physically met before today. I walk upstairs here at the radio station. I'm thinking, this guy's in damn good shape. So you're living well.
Thank you. I have a beautiful girlfriend, Barbara Klein. I'm
good for you.
I've been madly in love for a year. I had a girlfriend before her that was okay. And my ex-wife lives 2 doors away. Last 2 weekends ago, Barbara and I went with my ex-wife and her boyfriend sailing on his, you know, on his yacht.
How does that work out? Wow.
I love her. She's 2. Me and Nancy were great pals.
Yeah.
Then she came to work with me.
Yeah.
And we put together, she was responsible for everything. She made it so all I had to do was be funny. We lived together 7 years. Then we got married and the whole deal. And we did everything together. And, you know, we got divorced. And people, she took all your money. Blah, blah. No, she didn't take anything. She took the half that she earned. Mm. You know, everything that we had, she deserved half of it. You know, some wives stay home and knit. You know,
right.
she was working as hard as I was. You know, and she's an actress and a songwriter, and she's so talented. And she's 2 doors away, and it's great. And people say, there's always cynics that say, well, if you can hang around with your ex-wife, then you didn't really love her. I'm like, what kind of rationale
is that? That's weird.
Now, there's people that, there's girls that I went out with that I probably wouldn't want to, you know.
Yeah.
Spend a weekend on a yacht with.
We all have those.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
But, you know, friends are friends are friends. And we had such a friendship.
Yeah.
So strong, you know. Like John Lennon got killed. And I was freaked out. And I just left my house and started walking down the street, that a road that I never, ever, ever walked down towards Oyster Bay. And Nancy lived down at the bottom of the hill. And This is just, you know, when did he get killed? 1980.
December of 80, yeah.
Yeah, because we weren't, you know. And we ran into each other walking opposite ways. The only two people on the street on this, you know, like it's like Route 46 or something.
Yeah.
What are you doing? She's like, I can't handle it. John Lennon got killed. And I'm like, well, I never, nothing ever makes me say, I got to go out and go walking. This is the first time in my life. She said, me too. And it, like, and that was just the basis of our friendship.
Yeah.
People say, oh, you back-timed and made that story. No, that happened.
You don't make stuff like that up.
It was great.
That is amazing.
All right, stay with us. We're coming up on a network break. Much more with Jackie the Joke Man Martling coming up. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
She is one of the most successful doubles players of all time, capturing 112 titles, including 21 Grand Slam wins with her partner, Martina Navratilova.
Boom! Pam Shriver!
So where is Pam Shriver now? Pam married former James Bond actor George Lazenby in 2002. The couple had three children, but divorced in 2008. Pam has been a commentator for ABC and CBS and is currently with ESPN. While broadcasting Wimbledon in 2010, player James Blake took exception to the volume of her courtside commentary.
I'm just surprised.
Maybe too late, but I can still hear you.
James just yelled at me. I'm way above the court, but evidently he can hear me. He's got rabbit ears.
Quiet down, Pam. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Welcome to American Biker Minute 280 degrees switchbacks. All but the most experienced wrenches detest having to wire a set of Z-bars. Still, we're doubling the height and pullback of our old set. Today on American Biker Minute.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. After hours of staring at internet sites, we still couldn't find a true motorcycle Z-bar, other than those identical to what we have. JP Cycles catalog as a last resort. Found a good-looking set. Twice the rise, twice the pullback of the set we've been running for years. Just what the doctor ordered for a reasonable buck and a half. Tall, fresh Z-bars, along with the longer front fork tubes, will really set the chopper off. Build in progress at AmericanBikerMinute.com. American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road in 2 weeks.